Welcome back. This is session 31 of this class on spiritual warfare. Welcome back to all of you who have hung in this far. We're coming near to the end, but there are many things to consider yet. In fact, more than I could probably fit in these last six sessions. Last time we looked at what to do if you feel like you are experiencing a demonic influence in your life, if you're experiencing the opposition or you're experiencing that impact of the enemy as he attacks you. And today we're going to turn that around. We're going to look at what do we do when we feel like we want to minister on behalf of others, that we want to do battle on behalf of others. Now, if you're part of Christian Leaders Institute, you're probably engaged in ministry somewhere, and you are going to be involved with people, most likely, who are able to identify that things are going wrong in their life, and they're wondering why. In this session, what I want to do is prepare you for that, prepare you for dealing with that person, and on going to battle on behalf of Jesus and the power of his name, and by his authority, setting people free. So, let's get to it. Last time, we looked at this demonic influence scale. So just a reminder that the scale goes from opposition. And if you're a believer, you have to know that the enemy, Satan, is our adversary. He is opposed to you. He wants your life to be miserable. He wants your life to be complicated. He wants you to be doubting your faith. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so opposition is normal. That's a normal phase of life, but it will get stronger at times in your life and weaker at others. Influence, the enemy will come and try to influence you and influence your choices. And if you open your life to him, if you give him a foothold, as we've seen, that will become more difficult. And it may end up in oppression where you realize this is going on. You realize that the enemy has a foothold in your life, and so we talked about how to deal with that last time. And then if things continue to get worse, it will be obsession, and then there will be control that the enemy will exercise in your life, and maybe even possession, which Scripture makes clear happens in the New Testament, and maybe happens today in maybe a less obvious way. But what we're going to look at initially is what to do in those first three categories: opposition, influence, and oppression. So in your life and in your ministry, you're talking to a friend or associate or somebody who's engaged in ministry with you, and they become aware that things aren't going right in my life. And that's a time to begin to explore what's the root of this. Where does this come from anyway? And is there some way that I should be engaged in setting this person free from those chains? I'll tell you some stories about that later. So what do you do? How do you go about this? Here's the plan. Starts with preparation, your preparation. I was reading Doris Wagner, who's How to Cast Out Demons is the title of her book, and she talks about before any kind of interview that she's dealing with someone, when she's going to be going to battle on their behalf, that she spends a day fasting prior to that. And she wants to be prepared herself, emotionally, physically. She wants to be prepared spiritually more than anything. And so she spends time fasting. And fasting, I gave you a brief overview of it. There's a short course again in which goes more in depth into fasting. Short course in Christian Leaders Institute. But she spends time, and every time that hunger pang hits, is a time when she spends time in prayer, asking God's presence, asking for the power of the Spirit, asking for her to be ready for that. So she prepares. She prepares by reviewing the situation that the person is facing that she's going to be caring about and ministering to. And then they meet. And they meet for interview. Now, she has some rules about how she goes about this. She usually leaves the door open in her office. Leaves. I know she's now with the Lord. but would leave the door open, and there would be other people in the office just to make sure everything is above board, but also if something should happen that is unexpected in this warfare, that the enemy shows up in a way more powerful than thought. And the interview is just, what's been happening in your life? You know, tell me, where do you see the problems? And why do you think this is happening? Do they have any sense that the enemy is involved here? Then together they talk about the sword of the Spirit. In other words, which scriptures apply? Which scriptures apply to this particular situation? And then they're ready for command. And then they would do what I've done, and I'm going to do again in this time, now that we're up to it. They pray a prayer of command. And I say that again, as I've said, we've had many glitches in the studio here as I've been doing these lectures, where the power goes out, where the camera went out one time, where things go wrong. And so I'll say again, in the name of Jesus, I command any of the forces of the enemy that have been deployed here, break the chains you have been creating, leave right now. I command you to go to Jesus so that he can do with you as he sees fit. That's the prayer of setting the stage. Setting the stage. Okay, the next one, once you have done that command, you sit there and you deal with the demons that have been identified. And that can happen in a variety of ways. It can happen with somebody who's just been having problems in their life. You know, there are a variety of situations that I'll share with you in a minute. But after that, let's keep on going with the process. Invite them to pray. Remember that scripture that Jesus says, you know, if you cast out a demon, then it wanders through places, and then it comes back and finds the previous habitation clean. Cleaned up, and he says, hey, I'm going to move in and take seven more with me. And so you invite them to pray, to fill their lives with the Holy Spirit, to fill their lives with the presence of Jesus Christ that will be the offset to any reality of this demon coming back and engaging with them. Now, let me just share with you some of the stories that I've had to deal with, and simple ones. These are the simple ones on those first three stages, right, of demonization. I was discipling a couple of new Christians, a young couple. They had two beautiful children, and they had come to faith. And it was an exciting time for our church, as always. And the person who was in charge in our church of that aspect of our ministry asked me to disciple these two because our children had become friends. And so we were getting to know this couple on various levels, not just as pastor. And we got talking. We had some material we were going to go through that night on discipleship. And as we're going through, I became aware that they had a different agenda. And they said, does this always happen with people who come to faith? I said, well, what? They'd been going through a variety of disasters. The husband got an eye infection that made it impossible for him to work, because he couldn't see, and I believe he was an accountant. And so he had to deal with these columns of numbers all the time, and so he's not able to work. And then there were problems with the house. You know, one thing after another, after another, after another, after another went wrong. And so, you know, they gave this litany, and they're just saying, is this what always happens? And my response to them was, yeah, hear this story more than you would think. Because if the enemy has been living in that situation and thriving in their lives, and now he's been gone, or being replaced by the Holy Spirit, being replaced by things of faith, there will often be a counterattack. And so after talking about this for a while, I said, well, we should deal with this. And so I gave the prayer. I says, in the name of Jesus, I command spiritual forces deployed against this family. I command you to leave. I command the spirit of sickness. and infection in the man's eyes, I command you to leave right now and go to Jesus that he might deal with you as he sees fit. I command the demon that's causing problems in this house for breakdowns and leaks, plumbing leaks, and et cetera, disasters. I command you to go and never come back. Go to Jesus that he may deal with you as he sees fit. And then we pray together, and they pray. They prayed for the presence of God in their life and in their house. And that's when you know it's spiritual warfare. When I called the next day, I said, how are things? And he said, much better. I'm going to work today, and no disasters today. And it was a moment to say, yeah, this is the thing we're dealing with here. In the name of Jesus, I have the power and authority. And he who is within me is greater than he who is in the world. Another example, dealing with a couple that were facing some financial crises in their lives, a variety of them, and looked like there wasn't any immediate solution. And the solution they came up with eventually was, we have to sell the house. And that was unfortunate, but the house wasn't selling. They were selling it within the range. It was a very hot market. This was in Southern California. And so they couldn't understand it. And so we began talking about it. I said, well, you know, why do you think that is? And is there anything that's going on beyond that and with the financial situation? And turns out the guy had done some things that were, you know, probably illegal, maybe immoral. And so we had to deal with confession and repentance. And then, in the name of Jesus, I said, in the name of Jesus, address the demon who is keeping this house from selling. I command you to break that chain that you're trying to put in these people's lives and to set them free. And I command you to leave and go to Jesus that he may deal with you as he sees fit. Now, just a word about that. Commanding the demon to go to Jesus, Jesus, remember, commanded the demons to come out, and they said, don't send us into the abyss, send us into the pigs nearby. And Jesus did that, and, you know, 1,000 pigs are dead, drowning themselves as they ran down the hill into the water of the lake. Now, I don't want to send the demon into anything else, and I don't know about the abyss. And so my practice has been to send them to Jesus. Jesus can say where they should be going from there. Another example is the onset of depression. Now, when somebody came to me and reported this growing depression in their life, and it was getting to the point of suicidal thoughts, and this person was in counseling. You know, I don't try to bypass counseling. It's one of the tremendous tools God has given us, and I've benefited from it greatly in my own life. And so there are medications for depression, and depression can come for a variety of reasons, but one of them may be the presence of the enemy. And so this person, we talked about that. Are you doing the other things to take care of your depression? Are you in counseling? When did it start? How did it start? Are you on medication? Have you ever been on medication? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it became clear that following all of the normal steps, the depression was still deepening in this person's life. And so that was a time to deal with the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, I command the demon that's causing this person, or demons that's causing the depression in this person, the root cause of it, I command you to leave now. I command you to break any chains you've been building in this person's life, and I command you to go to Jesus that he might deal with you as he sees fit. And then later, got the report from the person a couple of days later that the depression was lifting, and she was experiencing a new level of freedom. Now this, you know, it's easier if you have the spiritual gift of discernment and you know, this is the enemy or this is not. It's just easier. And it's easier if you do this in teams with people, with a couple of people praying. Because where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he's there in the midst of us. And so, but that's a couple of examples. Now, we've been talking about the first three of the six levels of demon influence. So opposition, influence, oppression, all of those kind of things are what we've been talking about. But it's a whole different thing when you get to obsession, control, and possession. With possession, you've got to do exorcism. And that is a whole different world. So let's look a little bit more about how you would approach it if you're ministering to somebody who is, you judge, up there. First of all, recognize the enemy. You know, go back to the names that we've looked at, that he's the adversary, he's the tempter, he's et cetera, in his power. And some of the things that he might cause, he can cause severe sickness. They brought Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus rebuked him, healed him, by rebuking and casting out the deaf, mute, blind and mute demon. So if there's sickness, now there's normal causes for sickness in a broken world, but sometimes there's sickness that can't be cured. Another one, I love Luke 13, this woman who is bent over and limited, and Jesus heals her on a Sabbath, and he said, should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Jesus identifies that this crippling that this woman had experienced was Satan at work. And so he dealt with that, and he healed her. And sometimes severe sickness can be the evidence of Satan. You need discernment to do that. If somebody says blasphemy against God, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That there is this force that is against God. It's adversary of God, first of all. And if you hear from someone blasphemy against God, that's a sign that the enemy is there in those top three tiers of the oppression scale. Unusual physical strength. Jesus dealt with that with the man, the man who had legion in him of demons, who was breaking chains. Imagine the strength of that. That's sometimes a sign that the evil one is involved there. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. If you see that, think, wow, maybe the enemy's involved with this. Physical fits of rage can sometimes be the presence of a demon. Then split personality. One person I was reading shared that he had gone with his wife to a time where they taught people to pray for a spirit guide. And he said, I didn't get one, but my wife did, and would talk about this spirit guide. But then she began to act more and more bizarrely. And one time he said that she was angry about something and turned to him and looked at him and said, I hardly recognized her, and said, don't you know who we are? People are resistant to help. Hearing other voices. Involvement in the occult. I'm going to share with you a process. Now, I'm a little bit out of my experience realm here. I've done this a couple of times, but this is beyond my experience. So I'm going to share what I have learned from people who are engaged in this ministry regularly. First of all, build a team. People who have discernment gifts. People who have some experience dealing with demons. A team of intercessors to be praying for those who are going to be involved in this. Interview the person wanting exorcism. When did this behavior start? What have you seen? What do you know? Fasting and prayer to prepare for this time. Meeting with a demon person. When did this start? And be able to claim Jesus is here now. And then have a time of prayer where you ask for blessing on the time together. Touching the person and praying for the spirits to leave. Break the chains you have made in so-and-so's life in the name of Jesus and by his authority. I command you to leave now and go to Jesus. He can deal with you as a fit. Multiple times praying. Should we name the demon? That's a question that's come up in a lot of the stuff I've read. And I personally don't think that's all that important. But if the demon manifests itself and gives a name, do you know who we are or something like that? Then you can address it personally and directly, the demon that's involved there. And then pray. Multiple people praying, I think, is preferable. and gathering around, laying hands on the person. And then after prayer counsel, you've got to tell the person about what's coming in their life. And so, here's the passage I quoted earlier about they better fill their life with something. And so they need to get after prayer counsel to say, you've got to be engaged with God's people. You've got to be engaged in worship. You've got to be engaged in discipleship. You've got to be engaged in these things, or it may be worse for you. And again, expect counterattack. Teach them about the armor of God, filling with the Spirit, and the help of the community. So that's a brief overview. But again, looking for people with gifts of discernment, looking for people who are going to be praying, look in your life and see if there's anybody who has experience with this. If you feel called to deal with somebody who's in those upper levels of demon engagement. So next time, we'll look at this again as we continue spiritual warfare.